Hello everyone, welcome to edition 246 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. It is a delightful summer's evening. What is the date today? 24th. So the nights are drawing in now, ahead of winter. We've had the longest day of our year, but there we go. It's beautiful. It's gone 8 o'clock and there is still a bucket load of sunshine for us to enjoy, which is very nice. Yes, welcome to the podcast. This is very exciting. We are sat at the Rush Cutters Public House, which is lovely. For those listening on Patreon, welcome. Thank you for your support. This is going to be the full fat, full bodied podcast for you lovely patrons. And if you're listening on Audio Boom or any of our other free podcast feeds, then you're going to get a slightly abridged version. This is the way we're going to do it now in terms of back-to-back races, because for the first time this season, I think, we've got back-to-back races. And thank God, because this probably won't take very long anyway, as we talk through the 2019 French Grand Prix, otherwise dubbed as the worst Grand Prix of all time. I am Michael Bailey. Hello there. Good to hear from you and speak to you. I am joined by Damon Hill Radical and blogger, Blogs on Wheels, Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
And Norfolk's own Italian, Alessandro Essafumagalli, which of course is Alex to us.
Good evening.
Loads to get... Sorry, not loads to get through. Let's just get stuck into it, shall we? Because there's no point in hanging around, really, beating around the bush. I've seen two people say that this was the worst Grand Prix they've ever seen. How about you guys? Was it the worst Grand Prix you've ever seen? Are we... Because, of course, there is something of a recent bias. You know, it's the most memorable one because it's the one we've seen most recently, and I would imagine there were some absolute horrors of races back in the day and not so long ago. But where did this rank?
I mean, people who say it's the worst one they've seen probably didn't watch, was it 2005 Indianapolis, when it was six cars starting? That was a complete shambles.
That was exciting shambles. This was not exciting shambles.
It was drama, but then as soon as the race started, it was six cars going round seconds apart from each other. It wasn't that entertaining. I remember that race, and because I believe I was 15 years old at the time. Yeah, I was. And but yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure people have said, oh, it's been the worst race ever, probably the last few races we've had. However, this one was really quite poor. You had the start and an end, and that was about it. It was pretty much the first three laps and maybe the last one or two, and that was pretty much the race.
I think it was boring. I mean, I started doing ironing halfway through. That's basically sums up my thought about the race. Yeah, just beginning and end of the race was really the bit to watch. Midway through was just like a Monaco Grand Prix to me. Just nothing really happens.
Without the sights.
Without the sights, exactly. Without the sights, without rich girls. I mean, rich people. No, yeah. It's just average.
Confession time. I was planning to watch the Grand Prix. I had every intention of freeing up several hours to watch it, but I'd caught who won it, which was fine. No doubt of that. I then caught everyone saying how rubbish it was, and literally I was like, well, there's no point in spending 3 hours doing this. So I caught the highlights, and I have to say, even watching the highlights, I felt that that was a stretch just to get 9 minutes of action out of it. And we'll talk about the intricacies and what it means for the championship and blah blah blah, etc. We've got loads obviously to cover, but I just want to want to get stuck into this. There's obviously a momentum here, isn't there, that when everyone starts talking about how boring it is, that's the issue, really. Before, races have been patchy, but it's like, well, we've got the characters, or we've got whatever's off track to deal with, or we've got the politics or team battles or blah blah blah. And I don't know, it feels now we're several weeks into season that we're even short of that. I don't really... What are the talking points at the moment? I'm struggling to think of the talking points other than it's crap and how is it not going to be crap.
The big thing that I've really picked up, it seems to be the tyres. I mean, especially this weekend, all they were saying was, oh, you can't push the tyres where, you know, we're out too quickly and everything. And it seems, you know, the obvious answer was go into the pits then, push flat out, go into the pits. But of course, for teams, it's not quicker doing that. It's quicker looking after your tyres, pitting once, twice at a maximum. And it's just getting to that stage where it's like, we need... You know, we need Pirelli, we need the FIA to do something. I don't know, there was a lot of talk about, I think, Pirelli and the FIA investigating the tyres because the way they were designed for this season, the way they were changed, they essentially disadvantaged all the other teams except from Mercedes. And it seems a bit of a strange thing. It's coming to the stage now where we know how good Mercedes are, and you know, obviously pointed out Ferrari's failings this season. But it seems to be coming to the fact that it's just, let's do what we can to penalise Mercedes, just slow them down. And I think just maybe break a little bit of their front wing off. One of those front wing plates, just take one of them off. And just let them race, see if they're still as good.
I mean, as policies go, that would be absolutely stupid, wouldn't it? Oh, let's just give all the benefit to the team that's already won the last four World Championships, or however many it is. I've lost track, to be honest.
I think I've got the exact wording of it, I think, here, which was actually from the greatest man ever, Damon Hill, of course. And his tweet was, a few teams demoralised about Mercedes dominance, a few suggest Pirelli Sports, thinner tyres, unfairly disadvantaged the rest. Heard the FIA are testing the water for possible change. Watch this space. So it could be mid-season break. They suddenly decide to change things.
I'm sure they will, because I imagine Liberty rate how good the show is above all else. And at the moment, they'll be like, holy mother of Lord, what are we going to do with this?
Do you remember, what was it, 2011? Maybe 2011, I think, at Silverstone. For one race, they said no exhaust-blown diffusers are allowed. And Ferrari suddenly won the race and were looking good. And then they were like, OK, yeah, you can have them again. And, of course, it was all Red Bull. It could just be another one of those situations they try, I guess.
I was covering that Grand Prix. It was interesting writing all that for the Eastern Daily Press on a Friday, trying to explain blown diffusers to a wide GP audience, Formula 1 audience. But there we go. That's part of the joy of the sport, isn't it? There does seem to be this horrendous pragmatism around the sport at the moment. Because the way people were talking, it's like, well, we're not going to push because we'd rather protect our position. Now, I'm not being funny. If you all line up on the grid and you all want to protect your position, there's point in having a f***ing race, because you might as well just say, well, we'll call it here, thanks. I'll take wherever I've qualified. And it's like, where's all the desire to race gone? It's like it's all been taken over by pragmatic engineers who have already worked out what the best way is of running a race and how appetite anyone will compete against that. And then, of course, we have the other situation where Danny Ric is trying to push the envelope and then gets penalised for it, but we'll maybe get back into that later. The one thing I did want to mention, Alex, is how much is this down to, you know, obviously the momentum leading up to Paul Ricard and the French Grand Prix is one thing, but I have to say, at this, off the back of all that momentum, the worst possible place to go to is Paul Ricard. The track is It's basically like a massive swathe of concrete that they've drawn a track on. There are lines on it that make the whole thing unwatchable, as far as I can't watch that track, because it's like not a track, it's just lines. It's like something out of Tron that doesn't work. And then obviously everyone could just drive anywhere. Yes, what's the penalty of going off track? And again, we'll probably get stuck into that, but it just felt like it was a perfect storm of having a terrible race off the back of what is, to be honest, it's a track that we shouldn't even be racing at in Formula 1, in my mind.
I agree with you. It's a track that I think has been put there just for money, I would say, as well, for France, you know, to just add the French Grand Prix. Is a track that probably is favourable for 2-3 teams, which are the top three. Obviously, we know Mercedes, Ferrari and Red Bull, they were the top three. Obviously, glad to see other teams make up their territory, like we were saying, me and Rich earlier as well, with McLaren coming up a bit more. But going back to the tyre situation, we saw that Giovinazzi, after three or four laps, the soft tyre's completely gone. And from 10th, he was in the grids, down to last. You know, it's just where is the show, where stops the show, where starts the sport. I still don't get it this year. I just think it's just about TV money, just to get as much possible in and not really for sport at the moment. So it's getting a bit to the point of, yeah, we should pick the trucks where to race. It's, you know, obviously money are very big importance in the sport, we know that, but we should think, like, as you said, Paul Ricard probably was the worst circuit to go this week. Austria is good, but I don't think would, you know, was the next one as well. Could it probably be something different? I don't know myself which one yet, but Paul Ricard surely wasn't.
It's interesting about the tyres, isn't it? Because, you know, tyres going off should be a good thing because you get more stops. But is it the disparity between the compounds, or is it that everyone kind of knows what's happening anyway, so there isn't any shock anymore?
It's a really weird thing.
It shouldn't even be the tyres, should it? We shouldn't even be talking about the tyres.
It should be the quality of the car that makes a difference. And it seems whichever car is kindest to the tyres is, you know, has a big impact as well. Kyle obviously wrote this blog years ago now and said about make them use all three compounds during a race. And Karun Chandhok has been banging on about it the last season as well. Yeah. and it's, you know, they've really been pushing for it to get these changes implemented, really. And it just seems no one wants them, and it's like, well, in the nicest way possible, what's the point of having a soft, medium and hard tyre if you don't need the three? You may as well just give them two tyres and say, here's your soft, here's your hard. Why do you need all three?
Fair point. But let me put it like this then. At this point, and we do sometimes have these reactionary debates and what have you, and I appreciate that, but at this point, does Formula One need big changes, or is it not? Is it more mountain out of molehill stuff?
I think it does, because at the moment, I mean, we're seeing Mercedes is just, it's getting boring at the point where Mercedes is basically winning every week, or is there and there's nothing else they can do about it. As I said, again, I'm happy for some teams like, you know, McLaren, happy to see Ricciardo trying to push a bit more. But it's like top three, and then it's just the best of the rest. And to me, that is, it's starting to get a bit boring. You know, I want to see something different. I can't just say, oh, yeah, they're going to win, I know, this or that. I just want to see a bit more racing. Because as you mentioned, they always try and keep, basically manage the tires. And they're only going to keep the position. They're not going to try and push. They're not going to do anything. So what's the point in racing, you know? It's getting to that point.
I have to say, it's not so much the domination, but it is definitely the racing. Because your teams will have dominating periods, but if you're all just starting a race and then finishing in the same positions, then that isn't an issue. But what do you reckon, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, the midfield is the one where we're really getting a treat, but no one really is interested in the midfield because it is the midfield. It's not the person winning the race. And I mean, obviously, the season started and it was, you know, it was Bottas, mostly. He was looking really good. And Hamilton seems to have stepped up with gear recently and obviously taken advantage. So you kind of almost have the two Mercedes there in their own class, in some respect. And then Ferrari have almost kind of teased us. It's like, yeah, we're looking good. And then it's like, no, we're not really. And then it's just kind of, it seems to be the clear 1-2-3 pattern for the teams. And then you've kind of got an actual proper shootout behind them.
That's not enough though, is it?
No, it's just it's not enough.
Bottas after three laps was 12 seconds behind already. That to me shows it's ridiculous, you know. This
also, given he said after the race that was because he pushed too hard at the start.
Yeah, how does it work?
I don't know if it does work. I mean, they're good at coming up with excuses.
Exactly.
Racing drivers.
Yeah.
There we go. Good old Valtteri. Fair enough. That I think we're 8 races in, and I think we can pretty safely say that Mercedes will win the Constructors' Championship and Lewis will win the Drivers' Championship. So, you know.
Look at the points difference. I think it's 36 points now. Hamilton's clear. So it's a victory and a half. So he could literally afford to rock up one weekend and go, oh, I'm going to take a day off and literally just have it off and he'd still be leading. So it's,
well, Will Buxton, bless him, was, well, I say bless him, he gets paid a lot of money to his job, but he was struggling with his paddock pass that he did to sound too excited about anything, and he was already talking about the challenge for Mercedes of having a potentially perfect season, which basically is Mercedes winning every race. Yeah. Unheard of, and we're already talking about that 8 races in. God, what a prospect. I'm just going to mention Kyle's tweets. Kyle Cumbers, our dear Kyle Cumbers. Hello there, Kyle. He posted a couple of tweets earlier today that I thought were worth reading out, if I can find the first one. We were having a bit of a chat about the track being the issue, Paul Ricard, but I was going to ask you, which we have done. Kyle says, the moves that Daniel Ricciardo made initially don't look worthy of 5-second penalties. However, if you let that go, then you will have serious issues going forward with track limits. So the solution is clearly to have grass or gravel on the edges of the track. Although, could you argue that the runoff areas allow drivers to make optimistic overtakes, knowing that they can have the run on into the corner and still be in the race? I don't really agree with it, but it is worth adding to the conversation about runoff areas, a conversation we will have in a moment. There are loads of ways, of course, to get in touch with us here at the NRF1 podcast, but the best place to start is patreon.com/NRF1, where you'll hear this podcast in full. If you are not a patron and you want to have a look at what it's all about, you can sign up for that for as little as $2 a month, and that will give you access to this and all our bonus podcasts. We put one together after each race weekend, so it's well worth having a look. It's also a nice hub there in terms of predictions, and it's where the community will be building in terms of what we do going forward. But we are on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as well. The handle for all three is at the NRF1. Please email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and the website nrf1.uk. Right then, let's bring on our Of the Weekend Awards. Fortunately, they look better than the ones that were dished out on the podium. What was all that about? They were funny old things. But maybe they were artistic. French artists probably put those together. But there we go. As always, you know what these are. Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend. Just Lewis, or is it all about the car? Anyone else you want to give it to?
The guy I actually voted for in the F1 driver of the day was Sainz. Because Norris outshone him in qualifying. But during the race, Sainz took the position, at the start. And he was battling Verstappen on the first lap. He was really looking good. And he did a good job. And, yeah, everyone else behind Sainz was lapped. Sainz wasn't far off being lapped, but... But no, he did well. He got sixth place, and it's Sim McLaren. Norris was unlucky because of obviously the problems he had. But Sainz for me, I thought he did a good job, and should be pleased with it.
I won't go Willie Clark.
That's who I would have said, I think.
Yeah.
Also, the dog agrees.
Yep. So with all the problems he had recently, and with all the problems Ferrari has, I think he did a pretty solid race.
Charles Le Barque. Yeah, I would agree with that. Probably because of what happened on the other side of the garage, but there we go. How about our team of the weekend? Team Lotus team of the weekend? I think certainly honourable mentions here for Alfa Romeo, because they had a pretty good week. Well, certainly with Kimi.
Yeah, I mean, Giovinazzi, in qualifying, he got 10th. And is that his first Q3 appearance of the season? He did really well, and I was a bit, in some ways, a bit worried, about him, because he wasn't really performing that well the last few races, but he showed up this weekend and he did well.
Giovinazzi had 3 years stop, not doing nothing, basically only doing like practice or just every now and then, so it's a lot stopping for 3 years, I think. So just give him time. I believe that next year would be probably like good midfielder, I would say.
Of course, you're asking me to give him a lot of time there. Not many people get that much time, Alex.
I know, yeah, but it's just, I think it's only fair because Ferrari literally kept him in the box for 3 years doing nothing. And it's not fair on him if they would just replace him straight away.
I mean, but
when he was, when he filled in for Wehrlein a couple of years ago with Sauber, and he was soon my favourite driver because he never gave up, he did what he could, and even though he had two quite spectacular crashes, he was like, oh, gave it a shot, didn't I? And it's like, that's the attitude to have. At least you gave it a go. You gave it your all. I'd rather, give it your all trying to gain that tenth of a second than, I'm going to go a little bit easier and settle for, three tenths slower or whatever.
You know what? F1 would be much better if it had 20 Giovinazzis, because it would be f***ing carnage. Yeah, exactly. Half of each. Away you go, boys. Do it. Great stuff. How about our Pastor Maldonado of the weekend?
It's Haas. I think I can't really choose either one of them. They're both just poor, to be honest.
All over the place. I think Gunther Steiner said it was their worst weekend in F1.
Like probably Grosjean says every single weekend.
He had another complaint, didn't he? That who was it who came on the track and was really dangerous?
Ricciardo overtook him and didn't go off the track.
Yeah.
And
it
was
like he came back on really dangerously. Yeah, it's always come on, Roman. Grosjean. I think that needs to catch. I'm really proud of that, and I don't think anyone would come up with it.
We're going to start a hashtag with that.
Grosjean. Okay. Grosjean, yeah. Well, a ped will be all over that.
Yeah, I agree with Haas.
Are we not going to mention Seb? Because I have to say, he was out-qualified by Charles. He finished a couple of places behind him, I say that a couple of places, but also 50 seconds. 40 seconds.
His season's finished.
45 seconds.
I think
what do you mean his season's finished? He's the number one driver at Ferrari.
Yes, until this, and for this year, I think. I reckon.
How much finished? Is he finished?
I think for this season, his championship hopes, unless Hamilton goes rock bottom, I think he's not going to really do anything spectacular, I would say. And I believe that next year we might be shocked by a move as well.
You think it'll be a Ferrari next season?
I don't think Vettel would be Ferrari anymore, but I think Vettel would go somewhere else and someone big will take his place.
I mean, maybe it's all primed for a Vettel Hamilton switch.
Well, that's what
I don't know
say,
if Mercedes would want Vettel.
I don't think Mercedes would want Vettel, but Hamilton wants Ferrari.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Anyway,
nothing to add.
Yeah, there it is. How about our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend? By the way, I have finally started watching Drive to Survive, is it the F1 Netflix doc? I think I've watched the first three, so I'm looking forward to number four, which is the Renault Red Bull episode. Looking forward to that. But of course, I've seen Giuliano Salvi, which makes me in that series, which makes me appreciate that I do really miss him.
So sweary, isn't it?
Yeah.
So sweary, it's brilliant.
Christian Horner, I'm enjoying him. Gunther, obviously, it's good fun. It's good fun.
Jerry.
Anyway, moving on.
Jerry Schweinsgirl, Horner, obviously.
Yeah. Carry on, keep your focus, Rich. Come on, your moment of the weekend. What happened that gave you a moment of the weekend?
What was the moment? Ah, yes, it was. And I was looking for this online, I couldn't find it. But the, I don't know if it was French Kid or French Kids during the national anthem. For anyone who watched it, it had the guy who was kind of singing quite operatically, I suppose, is probably the nearest word I can think of. But he was, you know, giving it his all. He had the kids with him singing, and this kid just shouting their heart out the national anthem. And it was the weirdest thing ever, because it was like, what is going on here? But I was just listening to it, and I was laughing, and my dad said, "Oh, why some French kid screaming down, screaming a national anthem?"
Patriotic, Rich. I love that's your moment of the weekend. I think that kind of sums it up.
It was hilarious. So that was the thing. if you watch, you can just see this guy giving his all, singing really proud, and you just this kid just shouting, screaming. It's like, at least they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah, well, that is a fair shout. That is a fair shout. Anything, Alex?
I wouldn't know what to say. Realistically, I didn't really have anything that stood up for the tree, to be fair.
I'm struggling to think. What I think watching Drive to Survive, the first three episodes of Drive to Survive on Saturday or Friday was probably my highlight. So there we go. Regressing to 12 months.
I'll say something about that series, which is really good.
They are making another one as well, aren't they?
Yeah. So
good luck with that.
Several of my girlfriend's friends, we'd never had a conversation about Formula One. They knew I liked it, and then they watched Drive to Survive, and ever since then they've been like, "This is brilliant, really like it," and they've been loving it. I've been watching the races because of it.
Same here. I've seen people say, "I've watched the series; it's really good," and then they sort of have an interest in the race. So it was doing the job.
Yeah.
The problem is the ratings. At them, but maybe, yeah, you know,
if only we could see a little bit more of that on TV.
Look, we've been quite down. We know we've got some big races coming up. Let's hope
you know what it is. The fix to it, it's not on
sprinklers.
No, it's not. It's not on free television.
I don't think anyone would have wanted to watch that on free. I don't think making it free would have helped.
If it was on free television, there'd be more of a reason to make it exciting, so drivers and everyone would try harder. But because it's pay only, they're like, no one's watching it, it's fine.
Yeah. But we'll protect our position from the grid.
I find that a little bit bizarre because, you know, there are a lot of people who would like to watch an F1. Like, Steph's grandma, you know, she loved Formula 1 and she can't watch it.
Yeah.
And she can only watch highlights every now and then because on all four or whatever it is.
It's a massive flaw. But there we go. They'll take the money, won't they? Which is basically why they've done it.
Yeah.
Which doesn't help any of the teams. We've got massive sponsorships that they're trying to sustain. I have thought of one moment of the weekend. It was a post-race interview, I think, with Carlos Sainz that he did with the Formula 1 official channel, which I managed to sort of watch some of this weekend because I was curious how they actually sell it. Carlos Sainz, it might not have been, but he sort of came on and said, "Well, actually, it's quite a boring race, actually." And she went, "Oh, cut. And I was like, "Yeah, but you do wish you could cut that." But they couldn't, so there we go. So, as always, let's rate the race out of 11. I am a little bit behind on these. It's not the only thing I'm behind on, but there we go. We rate it out of 11. I don't know what the lowest score is this season. I know the lowest score last season was, I think it was Monaco, which got a 5.25. So where are you going to start the bidding out of 11? I'm not sure what the lowest score. Oh, I can tell you actually, the lowest score we've ever had probably was that 5.25. Oh no, we had a 4.3 for Abu Dhabi in 2017.
The year I went.
Yeah, that's right. It was your fault. That is the lowest score ever recorded.
If you were there, it was so exciting.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, but we weren't. So. Go on then, Alex, you go first. What are you going to give it?
4.
Fair enough.
I'm just going to give it 5.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to be generous.
Oh, I was going to give it a 3. It has to be a 3, if not lower. I'm going to do 2.5. I'm going to give it 2.5 because you might get a race that's... Just try and imagine a race worse than that one. What happens in a race worse than that race? Because even if it doesn't start...
Do you remember the first Azerbaijan Grand Prix? The first one we had.
And Valencia.
Nothing happened. Yeah, I mean, there's several that we've had which have been bloody awful.
I mean, I've literally given it... I'll give it a 2.5, so then it gets a 3 and something, like a 3.7 or whatever. And that's because, you know, Danny Rick tried to overtake some people.
Yeah.
But that's it.
The start and the end, there was entertainment. The middle, there was nothing really.
There we go. It is officially the worst race we have ever rated on the NRF1 podcast. And I think we'd all agree that that's completely true. Who's going to have the bigger smile as they leave on their private jet heading back to wherever they live from Paul Ricard?
I think Hamilton taking the meek out of Vettel.
Yeah, probably Toto Wolff, I think, is
laughing at all of us for the show of F1 because they're winning it. There you go. Hope you've enjoyed all of that. Let's move on for a moment then, shall we? Remember, you can listen to this podcast in full over at patreon.com/nrf1, and that will literally cost you $2 a month, so barely nothing to it, and you'd get bonus podcasts for the rest of this season. Well worth it. But of course, next up, it is Austria. It's back-to-back race weekends as well, which we haven't had, as I said, for the first time this season, hence why we're doing a slightly different format in between, just to make sure you get the podcast nice and early. Austria, it's always think of it as the go-kart track. It's Red Bull's home race, which is, of course, a big deal for both Red Bull and Toro Rosso. I think it's also a race weekend where they both tend to fail miserably because they haven't really been able to deliver anything. Is this the sort of race formula... What is Charles Labarque again? Is this the sort of race that Formula 1 needs, the sort of track Formula 1 needs to deliver something? Please tell me yes, Alex. Oh God, he's going to say no.
I like to think so, but looking at how it's going so far, I'm struggling to make it look like it's a yes.
Excellent.
It's a good track. It's a great track. I think it's a fast track, and we will see some good stuff from mid teams like McLaren again, I would say. And I think they probably bless Verstappen, he will try to do his best, but so far he's did his best, stay where he is, like third position around there anyway. But we'll probably see again like Mercedes dominance.
Oh yeah. No, yeah.
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 Because Verstappen won there last year. And that was his first win of the season last year. And of course the Dutch fans went crazy. But I think
that where they had their rave stand? Or was that at Belgium? Yeah. Can't remember.
One of them,
Germany,
somewhere.
Probably
every weekend. Yeah, every weekend.
But I think this is the part of the season which Formula One needs, and this is my favourite part, where we get into the serious European calendar with the classic circuits. Mm. You know, we've got Austria, we've got Silverstone, we've got Monza, we've got Spa, we've got the Hungaroring. They're all coming up in the next, you know, few weeks, and it's going to be brilliant. And I mean, Formula One might be boring, but those circuits are just exciting. And I mean, it's probably just me because I love these circuits, but I can't remember the last boring Grand Prix we had at them. Hungary, you know, maybe because of the style of the circuit, but the rest of them, they've always produced something.
100%. You know, Mercedes tend to do something sometimes quite stupid there, so we'll see how it pans out. It is exciting, and let's be honest, I've pinned the French Grand Prix being a lot of it on the track. So this isn't Paul Ricard, so fingers crossed, Dave. Most important weekend for, should we just say Red Bull and be done with it?
I think it's probably Red Bull to show up a little bit more, to go back from last year, and probably it's either Mercedes to just go ahead and win points, I believe. Yeah,
I think the one guy I would pick out is Bottas, because he's good around the Red Bull ring, the Austria circuit. He's really good around that. I mean, do you remember 2014-15 with the Williams, he was performing there, you know, as was Massa, I believe, but they were doing really well, you know, going rounds, and he's, you know, he likes the circuit, he's quick, and if he wants to mount a serious championship charge and really prove his worth, this is the place to get a season back on track, because he's had a couple of tough races, and yeah, you know, it's the ideal place for him.
Bang on indeed. By the way, it's just popped up on my phone. Valtteri just needs one good weekend in order to come close. I don't know, is that exactly what that means? But that's what Toto Wolff said, so there we go. I can't be bothered to open up the whole story, but there we go. Brilliant stuff. Of course, Austria, we will look forward to a Spielberg classic. keep saying that. I don't think we necessarily get one, but we will see. That is, of course, round 9 of the Formula One World Championship. Before we get into the Prediction League and our predictions, which you'll hear the initial one on the free podcast and the full predictions over at Patreon, and of course you can get involved too either way. There are prizes on offer to those who are paying patrons to the pod, so again, that's something pretty good to get out of $2 a month. But if your predictions earn the best score on a race weekend, you get a £5 credit to spend at either motorsport-merchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus online shop, and we tally those best GP results, so you get your full credit at the end of the season, and then, you know, you can probably get something quite decent from those sites because they've got loads on offer. So that is cracking, and the standings will be forthcoming, not today. I do apologise, but they are on their way, just to keep everyone in touch. But it's just fascinating competition so far this season. It'll be great to work through them all. But of course, I just wanted to flag up, because on last week we got hold of Ramon Paria, who had been in touch and said how much he was enjoying it, which was very nice. He's posted a message in return, hasn't he? Shall I read it out? I haven't read this. Rich, you read it. Rich,
no, you go, because it's all new to you. So.
Oh yeah, that's fair. You've already read it.
Get the emotion.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's hope I'm not reading something I shouldn't be reading. Ramon, here he goes. Hi, Michael. Hi, Ramon. Just listened to the latest pod. Thanks for the shout. 3! Oh, my pleasure. And my children and wife were also listening when you mentioned my name. It was very funny. Oh God, how have I pronounced it? I'm saying Ramon Paria, but it might be Parilla. Parilla would be quite English. If I said Parilla. Ramon Parilla.
Ramon Paria.
Ramon Paria? Well, you're Italian, so you make it sound good. I'm English and probably don't. As to your questions, following F1 in Puerto Rico is not that difficult. We get it on TV via ESPN Network. We get the original English broadcast with Martin Brundle and the lot. Brilliant! Martin Brundle from Norfolk. There you go, Ramon. Obviously, some races are quite difficult to watch because of the time zones, got a bet, like Japan and China, but the other races are broadcast during the day here in Puerto Rico. Actually, watching F1 in front of a sandy beach is not that difficult. I bet it's lovely. I hope we get to do that with you one day, Ramon. We just invite ourselves over. I've done it a few times, especially the summer races, like the ones that are coming up now, French, German and British Grand Prix. Thanks again. Nice episode with the controversy of Vettel's penalty. God, we went on about it though, didn't we? Personally, I would have let them race, although I can see both sides. You know what, Ramon? You're right. I would have let them race too. Thank you so much for getting in touch. Keep them coming. And that goes to any of you. If you like listening to us and you want to engage with us and react to us and tell us stuff, that makes our day, because we love hearing from you, and we're all the more willing to get that involved in the podcast, because it's what makes it what it is. Right then, Prediction League, as I said, there are only two rules. You need a maximum of 5 predictions. You can make 1 if you want, but the maximum is 5, and you have to get them in, submitted preferably on the Patreon page, but you can do it on all the social media channels or by email. They need to be submitted before the start of FP1. So, gents, what would you like to go and make in terms of your predictions? Rich, you go first.
I wrote these down today and during my lunch break. So the first one I'm going to say is 1 McLaren and 1 Renault will finish ahead of 1 Red Bull. So almost a repeat of this weekend, so it's not exciting actually.
Alex is doing a good job of writing them all down. So yes. Alex, give us your first one, and then the rest of the patrons.
Again, 1-2 Mercedes with a Red Bull on the podium.
Okay, so what would I say? You know what? Let's say Valtteri will win. Don't know how that's going to happen, but Valtteri will win the race, I think.
Probably drive faster than everyone else.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, all right. Is that like when they ask people how it went wrong and they go, well, we just didn't have the pace? It's like, well, obviously. It goes without saying, but why? But there we go. Valtteri's going to win it. Right, then we are done, both in terms of our shortened podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you missed any of your normal features, then they will be on the Patreon podcast. That's just the way we're going to do it in terms of back-to-back, just to make life a little bit easier. But likewise, if you're listening on Patreon, thanks for joining us. And I hope you enjoyed the full fat pod. And if you did, tell your friends if you've got any left who like Formula One, because, you know, we're trying to keep it going, but as our liberty. But, you know, it's hard work. Brilliant. We will be back, of course, after the action in Spielberg with E2. 247? That's right, isn't it?
Sounds right.
This was 246?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you said earlier.
Is that what I said earlier? Good. 247, which will be our Austrian Grand Prix review, and they are not back-to-back, so we will, of course, do a bonus Patreon edition exclusively on its own after that, as normal. And that is, of course, after round 9 of the 2019 Formula One World Championship. Coming up to halfway, the summer break isn't too far away either. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks to you, if you're listening on Future Radio, of course. Thanks to the Rush Cutters for putting up with us. And goodbye from the crew. Goodbye, Rich.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye, Alex.
Ciao.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye, all. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Please, God, let us have a good race, because, you know, we don't want to talk about any more shenanigans like we've just done over the last hour or so. Fingers crossed. Send all your good wishes, and hopefully it just manifests itself on the track as if by F1 magic. Goodbye.
Hasta pronto, Ramon.
Ha ha.